Before we begin, next week's lesson sheets are on the back podium, so please pick one up during our break or at the end of our services. And last week we covered chapter one, and who could tell me what was in chapter one? What did we learn from Paul, Timothy, and Silas' account in chapter one? Go ahead, Kristen.
That if you give yourself to God, your life will be stronger, better, and your heart will be good.
Very good. And Paul was very complimentary to the saints at Corinth. And why?
They've given up idols and they followed God's word and were a good congregation.
Exactly. And what did people know about saints at Thessalonica? Something about their faith. Okay?
Their faith was strong and the people in Macedonia were faithful. Did I think something?
That's it.
Did I interrupt?
They had a strong faith. And that faith was proclaimed throughout the region and also to other parts of the world. Paul was very pleased with their progress. And now he's going to continue in the second chapter, and we're going to see how he explains his service to the Thessalonians in the first four verses. And then in verses 5 through 9, what was Paul's motivation and conduct in ministering to the saints at Thessalonica? So he's going to share with the saints back in Thessalonica and also us today how he conducted himself and how we as Christians should conduct ourselves in our Christian walk of life. With that, let's look at the first thing that he says in verses 1 and 2. What does Paul mean by our coming to you was not in vain? And can I get a volunteer to read those first two verses in 2 Thessalonians?
For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming was to you was not in vain, but after we have already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we have the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition.
Thank you, guys. So we see that Paul reminds them of his suffering, and we're not going to go through the what he suffered in Philippi. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago concerning, you could find that information in Acts chapter 16, verses 19 through 24. And he undergone a lot of suffering for the sake of the Lord. And it made him stronger. When we encounter different obstacles or different situations in our lives, it builds us up. We grow from those experiences. And it's up to you and I to make sure that we always put the Lord first. And Paul and Silas did. Even though they endured many sufferings, they stood firm for the Lord. So we see that the phrase, our coming to you, refers to the missionary's arrival at Thessalonica with the message of the gospel. And we can read about that in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, how Paul, Silas, Timothy, and also Luke went from Philippi down to Thessalonica, and Paul spent 3 weeks preaching and teaching. And what do we find out about his preaching and teaching? What happened in Thessalonica? Did anybody become a Christian? Exactly. People heard the word and they became Christians. They did away with their idols, they worshiped, they did away with sin, and they focused on serving God. The word vain translates peanuts, which means empty. And this term also could denote something that was without purpose, effect, or importance. So Paul didn't come to him in vain. He had a message to share with the saints at Thessalonica. And that message was received, even though he had trouble. And the gospel had a powerful impact because it produced deep and far-reaching effects in the lives of the Thessalonians. Despite when we received the gospel, it changes our lives. We go from being in a sinful condition to worshiping God. And their faith was genuine. When we could read about that in the first chapter, verses 1 through 10. And Paul praised him for that. And they suffered persecution. And that's why he's writing this letter to them, to encourage them, to support them. And we'll find out later as we go through chapter 2 how Paul shares with the saints at Thessalonica his life. That's an example for you and I today. We should be involved with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just me being here Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, whatever, but we should be involved in their lives. And you should share your life. And that was Paul. He shared his life with the saint at Thessalonica. Can I get someone to read Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11, please?
So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent.
Thank you, Eileen. So the prophet Isaiah shares with us that God's word will not return empty to him. We may not see the efforts that we put into sharing the gospel with others at that particular time, but the fruit that comes out of that planting the seed will eventually sprout if it's God's will. And we just go out and preach and teach. But God causes the growth in someone's heart. And that's with Paul. And when you look at his life with his sufferings, that could have put someone down, but yet he knew it was God's purpose that he would suffer. So Paul shares the following concerning the gospel in these first verses. We see that he has confidence in God's power. When you look at his life from the time he became a Christian till now, God is with him. And he recognizes God's power. We today should recognize God's power, because it gives us salvation. He was committed to God's truth. He didn't deviate from God's word. He didn't add to it. But yet he was firm to tell people what God wanted them to know. And we know he was commissioned by God's will. We find that in the book of Acts, chapter 9, when he was so determined to put people who worship God, who follow Jesus, in prison, even to the point of death. But God changed that. God saw that he was a good person, and he knew Paul's heart, and eventually he was baptized. His dedication to God's glory, not to his own personal accomplishments, but he gave God the glory. And his boldness in presenting God's message, even among the opposition, much opposition. How does that reinforce our lives today as Christians? What do you think it does for you and I when we examine Paul's life and we see the challenges that he encountered and how he overcame them? But yet, when you look at his life, he always gave God the glory. And he always knew God had a purpose for him, as he has with us in our lives. We may not know what that is, but yet, he wants you and I to go out and reach others with the gospel message.
Manny?
Yes, Carol.
It really shows to me how his how he was strengthened by God,
mm-hmm.
and how he relied on that strength. So he always was focused on God, which helps me focus on God too, and gives me extra strength.
Exactly. And how do we do that? We pray. We ask God for help in our lives. We seek out our brothers and sisters who will be able to encourage us along our Christian walk on this life. So how did Paul present the gospel to the Thessalonians? Can I get someone to read verses 3 and 4 of chapter 2, please?
For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our heart.
Thank you very much, Vicki. So we see that his exaltation didn't come from error or deceit. He didn't preach error. He didn't add to God's word or take away from God's word. He preached what was in the gospel. Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. And also, Paul wasn't deceitful in sharing the gospel. He didn't hide things in to make people feel that they want to listen. He told it like it is. And that's why he didn't speak to please men. And we know that there are people who claim to be evangelists in the world who will try to use different ways to entice you to come to take the gospel. He just told it like it is. And also he was entrusted with the gospel. As you and I today are entrusted with the gospel. And God examines his heart. And he knew that. And God will examine you and I if we do not take the opportunities that we encounter in our lives to share God's message. Can I get someone to read Proverbs chapter 21, verse 2, please?
Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart.
Thank you very much, Ruth. So we see that Solomon says, every man knows that in his eyes he's right, but the Lord weighs the hearts of men. and women. The Lord knows. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 1, Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with the Father who is in heaven." So Jesus knows, and he was telling those individuals, don't please men. Make sure you're pleasing God. He knows what's in your heart, and he will reward you. And if you go out and seek accolades and praises of men here, that's going to be your demise. And can I get someone to really read Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, please?
"For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, pardon me, I would not be a bondservant of Christ."
Thank you very much, Diane. So Paul shares with the saints at Galatia that he's not out to please men. And if he were, he wouldn't be a bondservant of God. We are committed, when we become Christians, to put God first in our lives. And I know a lot of times we forget that. Satan comes into our lives and pulls us away from that priority. But we have to be focused on putting God first. And when you read these verses, we know that we're not here to please men. So what can Christians learn from these verses about being entrusted with the gospel? What are your thoughts on that? Carol?
At least you have to trust that they come from an all-knowing and powerful God,
so that
you can have faith, and so that you don't change what he says. So the message is true, and that it's uplifting to you and strengthens you.
Very good. Anybody else? Faith?
Verse 2 says he did all this amid opposition, much opposition. So we can know that we'll have opposition. And God gives us strength to get through that.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we pray to God for help. Anybody else?
Well, his example shows us that if we're entrusted with the gospel, that we shouldn't just keep it to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We need to spread it around, and we need to be an example like he was.
Exactly. Very good point. Anybody else?
I said basically the same thing. Oh, was somebody else going to talk? Speak the truth of God, not to be pleasing to man, but to God who examines and knows our hearts. The truth is so important. There's so much false teaching out there, and it's just, the truth is just.
Very good. I mean, that's exactly right. Never change the gospel, and never add your opinions to it. It's God's message, not yours. And Christians must be faithful, share it accurately, to the best of their ability. We are also entrusted with the gospel. And we, as Bob had mentioned, should share it. And we look at Paul's example, we should be boldly sharing the message. No matter what opposition that we face, no matter what Satan throws in our way to throw our position, we should stand fast at all times. And Christians should not rely on others to share the gospel message. That's our responsibility. That's each and every one of us has that responsibility. And they must be ready by the best of their ability to share the gospel with others. Where else can we find that in the New Testament? We must be ready to share the gospel. I know Ivy knows.
Yeah, Second Timothy, right?
Yeah, you can go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. You can read that, please.
Yeah. Try and remember. Makes me mad.
2 Timothy 2, 2.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Is it 2 Timothy 2, 2 or 2 Timothy
2? 2 Timothy 2, verse 2.
I was thinking of the one. Sorry. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ.
Thank you. So we see Paul shares this with Timothy, and also Peter says something to us. Can I, Faith?
1 Peter 3:15.
Can you read that, please?
But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence.
Thank you. So, again, here's another apostle sharing with us, we must be ready. And how do we get ready?
Study to show thyself approved.
Exactly. Harold, you had a comment?
Matthew 28:18-20.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me under heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age.
Thank you. He was telling the apostles or the disciples, go, baptize, teach. The apostles aren't here anymore. So we have the direction that Paul had given us, that Peter had given us, to be ready, go, and teach others. And that's our job as Christians, to do it to the best of our ability. Even if it's just sharing the way you became a Christian, will teach someone what is expected of you. So describe how Paul and his team came to the Thessalonians in verses 5 and 6. Can I get someone to read that passage for us, please?
For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed, God is witness, nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even those apostles of Christ, who might have asserted our authority.
Thank you very much, Madigan. So what does that mean? They didn't come with flattering speech. What does that mean?
They didn't seek glory from God, from men, but from God.
Exactly.
To please God. And they were using the authority given to them by God.
Exactly. And he wasn't desiring money. He didn't go to the Thessalonians seeking to get compensated for what he was doing. And he didn't seek the glory of men. And they didn't assert their authority. Paul was an apostle. He could have came and said, hey, look, I am an apostle. Listen to me. But yet, he was very humble, and he was very concerned about the saints at Thessalonica in their soul. And he was sharing with them God's message, so that they could stay away from sin and be pleasing to God. Flattering speech. Paul didn't flatter people to secure their friendship, following, or support. There's many other people who speak better than me that can use $2, $5 words in their presentation. I'm very simple. I'd like to keep it simple. and to the point. In all of Paul's letters, he commended those individuals, whether it be the saints at Thessalonica, the saints at Galatia, the saints at Philippi. He commended those individuals. But also he covered their weaknesses, that they need to strengthen. They needed to be strengthened. And more important, he commended them for their strong and faithful walk of life. That's important. And that's what Paul was doing. He wasn't trying to flatter people so that he could have strong support, or he could say, look, at Thessalonica, there were 50 people that came to the gospel. He didn't care about that. He was concerned about their soul, as you and I should be today with others. Can I get someone to read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, please?
As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness of their deceitful shamming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplied, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love.
Thank you. So we see that when he sent this letter to Ephesus, he stressed that there are people in the world who will use trickery and deceitful schemes and their own craftiness to win you over. But Paul spoke truth in love. And he emphasizes that we are supposed to be like Christ in all that we do. And the whole body fitted together. That's everyone here at Coburg. Spoke to work together to the best of our ability to bring others to the Lord. Desiring money. Paul and his companions did not come to Thessalonica with a cloak, hiding that I'm here. They didn't have any greedy intentions. They were not at all like the spiritual deceivers who came masking their real desires for sexual favors and money, using flattery to win over their audience, and then exploiting them for all sorts of personal satisfaction and gain. Paul's motive was to make sure that individuals' souls aren't lost because they didn't hear the gospel message. When Paul was on his third missionary journey, he was heading back to Jerusalem. He called for the saints, when he was in Miletus, he called for the elders from Ephesus. And this is what he shares with them, Acts chapter 20, verses 33 and 34. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. Again, if you look at that word own that they added in the New American Standard Translation that I use a lot, actually, that's my main Bible, but I go to other Bibles to see what the message is. So Paul didn't minister to his own, he ministered to his own needs. He didn't go out to different congregations and expecting them to pay for him. And also, he didn't seek the glory of men. He did not share the gospel to get recognition, awards, applause, honor, or praise from anyone. And I get someone to read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21, please.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. So Paul made sure that God received the glory. Make sure that God the Father received the glory for giving us this plan of salvation, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus. And also, he didn't assert his authority. Paul never used his authority as an apostle, but always balanced it with accountability and humility. He knew that God's omniscience discerned every thought and intention of the heart. So he was careful not to desire praise from men, but always seek to give God the glory. And that's what we should do in our lives. Give glory to God in everything we do. So what was Paul's relationship with the saints at Thessalonica? Can I get someone to read verses 7 and 8, please?
Though we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us.
Thank you very much, Dave. So we see that Paul and his companions were gentle among them. And he uses the analogy of a nursing mother tending to her children. And we're going to find out later on in this chapter, probably next week, another analogy he uses in a father who is the authoritative figure in the household, how he's supposed to conduct himself. And they had a fond affection for them. They loved them as brothers and sisters in Christ. They not only shared the gospel message, but they also shared their own lives with the saints at Thessalonica. And they were very dear to the saints at Thessalonica. Paul displayed characteristics of Jesus, who was gentle, patience, and compassion. And he shared this love for the brethren at Thessalonica because he knew one day they will all be together. Like us today, we will all be together in heaven. We'll have that opportunity as long as we live a faithful and righteous life. God will grant us the grace and mercy to be with him. So in verse 9, what specific challenges does Paul mention regarding his ministry at Thessalonica? Can I get someone to read that verse, please?
Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you.
Thank you, Vicki. So we see that Paul and his companions were self-supported while they were at Thessalonica. They didn't seek money. And we can read that account that Paul shares with us in Acts chapter 18, verses 2 and 3. And he found a Jew, and this is when he was at, when he reached Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working for that, for by trade they were tent makers. Oh, Paul supported himself, and he didn't want to burden the saints at Thessalonica. So, what are some of the practical steps we can take to ensure our daily lives align with the gospel we share? How would you sum up your life as a Christian? Carol?
It humbles me, the statement that they work both day and night. I just don't succeed there at all. I mean, it is so wonderful what they were doing, and they were so filled with God's Spirit. And I'm just humbled at how little I accomplish.
We could get there. We just have to work at it. Anybody else? How does your life align with the gospel message that you share with others? Do you just display here, Faith?
You could probably sit down and have a talk with yourself.
Mm-hmm. I know I have to do that all the time. We live a godly life 24/7, not just when we come together. We should be living that all the time, whether we're here among the brethren, whether we're out in the world, or whether we're by ourselves at home. Our life should be exemplifying Jesus. We can reach his standard if we try. We should listen to others with gentleness, patience, and compassion. This is something I have to work at all the time. Be gentle and patient. We all do. I know patience doesn't come easy to me. I'll share a story with you. We were in this small town up in Washington, and we were walking down, and this guy said hello and wanted to strike up the conversation with me. Coming from New York City, I don't trust anyone. And I didn't say anything. Faye said, he's the mayor of the city. I didn't know, and I didn't. So I have to work at that, be impatient with people, and show and be gentle. And that's something that we learn from the writings of the gospel writers, on how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Another area, we should treat all people with love, respect, and kindness. Again, it's something I have to work at. When there's people in the world who we know are sinners, you don't respect them for what they're doing, but you respect their soul. And maybe with what you say to them, or what I say to them, may turn your hearts again to them. That finishes our study of this particular section of chapter 2. We'll finish up next week with verses 10 through 20. Thank you very much for your comments and readings. And like I said, next week's lesson is on the back foyer.